ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 33. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rachashayas tatha anityam asukam lokam imam prapya Vachasva Maam Kim Puna Pramana Punja
Kim Puna Pramana
Punja Bhaktaracharyastatha Anityam asukam lokam Imam prapya pachasvamam Kim punar pramanak punya Bhaktaracharyastatha Anityam asukam lokam Imam prapya pachasvamam
Kim puna brahmana punya
Atchis Kim puna brahmana punya Anityam asukam lokam Imam prapya pachasvamam Kim
How much?
Puna. Again Brahmanas
Punya.
Righteous
Bhakta
Devotees
Racharishaya
Saintly kings.
Tatha.
Also
Anityam
Temporary
Asukam
Full of miseries
Lokam
Planet
Imam
These
Prapya
Gaining
Vachasva
Be engaged in loving service
Mam,
unto me.
Station
purport by the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
How much more?
This is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings.
Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me.
Purport.
In this material world, there are classifications of people. But after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone. It is clearly stated here,
anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and full of miseries. Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, it is temporary. There is a difference between temporary and false. This world is temporary, but there is another world which is eternal. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, "Take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. No one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy." The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of man can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. Kim punar pramanapumnya bhaktyar chashayas tatha anityam asukam lokam imam prapya pachashvamam. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings, therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Omagya timranya seha gananchana salakyam chakshuron militam yena tasma shikrave namaha si chaitanya mano bhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kathamayam dadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam bhagom langayati garim yat kripatam maham vande shi gurum dinataranam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, this verse is connected with the previous one, yesterday's verse, text 32. Krishna proclaims. Thank you very much. Mam hi pata vipashritya yepishu papa yonaya striyo vajyas tata shudras vipi yanti paramgatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, like women, vajyas, that means merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So that means even low class, or those who are born in Papa Yonishu. Papa Yonishu means sinful birth. So they take birth in woman body, Vaishya body, or Shudra body. That means one is not actually real twice born. To participate in Vedic rituals, one has to be twice born. Means one has to receive sacred thread and mantra from Guru in disciplic succession of Sampradaya. But in Kali Yuga, actually in previous ages also, Shudras and Vaishyas and women, they were not directly participating in Vedic Yajna or in studies of Vedic scriptures. So that they didn't went to Gurukula. Gurukula means to perform tapasya. Women are not capable for tapasya, as we know. They like to have comfort. everything nice for the senses and beauty and arrangement of life. So they need powerful husband who is taking care for them. So there's ashrama, grihastha ashram. That's the only ashram for women. It's no sannyas ashram or vanaprastha in the sense. Unless the husband goes and then she is assisting the husband in his tapasya in the forest or coming to Vrindavan. Actually, Prabhupada told the only place in Kali Yuga is Vrindavan for vanaprastha to retire from family life and from work. Come to Vrindavan. It's also forest. Vrindavana. That means the forest of Vrindadevi. That's the place where from time immemorial, even Dhruva Maharaj, there's a place near Mathura, also called Madhuvan. Madhuvan. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was a Kshatriya boy, he was a prince. But he felt very hurt. He felt offended by his mother, not the real mother, other mother. He had a stepmother, because the king had two wives. And Dhruva Maharaj, he one time wanted to sit on the lap of his father. That's proper. His father was sitting on his chair or throne, and the son wanted to sit on his lap. But then the stepmother came and tore him down, took him on the dress and his hair, and told, "Oh, you cannot stay here on the lap of that king. You're not qualified because you didn't took birth of my womb." So she was little puffed up, or more puffed up. Or very much puffed up, huh? So she was very proud on her that she is the dear, most dear of the king. That's a problem if one has more than one wife. Then one must be the most dear, and then all others feel neglected and not so appreciated by the king. And then though the woman who gets more attention and was dear, and then she thinks, "I have my husband under control, hand-packed husband. So I can do whatever I like, and I'm the queen of the house, I'm the Rani, and these other co-wives, they practically just become like assistants, like servants." So Dhruva, he was a prince, 5-6 years old. So he felt very offended. His kshatriya, proud, and blood didn't let him tolerate it. So he went furiously to his mother, real mother, Suniti, and cried to her about this, what happened. Mother told, "Yes, it's like that. I cannot change the situation. So I cannot help, my dear son, I cannot help you. If you need help, I heard from the sages you should go to the forest, to the Tapavan. There's certain forests where people who want to retire to take shelter, Tapavan." So she sent him to the forest because she heard there the sages tell one can find God. And only God can help you in this situation. He is almighty, He is all-powerful, He can help you. So Dhruva Maharaj immediately took this advice of Mother seriously. So she acted like his first guru, Vartma Pratashaka. She who showed him the way where to go. And there he was ready to do anything that he could meet God, the Supreme Lord, to get his darshan. So, and like many times, Narad Muni appears, and Narad Muni says, "My dear boy, what you're doing here alone in the forest, in the jungle? You don't know there are many ferocious animals here, snakes and tigers and whatever." you should go home to mother, go to kindergarten, go to school. Don't come alone to the forest without protection. That's not the time for you. But Dhruva was determined, like Dhruva says the name. He was very determined to his vow. Parashya is very heavy. He was very determined, very courageous in his vow. So he wanted to meet the Lord, and he told Narada, if you cannot give me a better advice, then let me alone. I will go my way. I want to find out where is Bhagavan. I want to meet him face to face. So Narada became pleased by his determination, and he gave him sadhana. He gave him the process of how to do meditation, and he gave him mantra, initiation in mantra, so that the boy could that his meditation or his attempt for yoga or tapasya would be successful. And so in this way, Dhruva Maharaji came to Madhuban, here nearby. It's one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, Madhuban, near Mathura. So in that forest, Dhruva Maharaji performed the tapasya. He was a prince, so he was from the royal order. So he got the proper direction already from mother. Either the mother or the father or the teacher has to give the child the proper direction in which way to go. Rishabhadeva, he says, one should not become mother, father, teacher, guru, demigod, husband or wife if you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. Guru na sasyat, na janina sasyat. And so on. Fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should not become an authority if you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. Then you should not become mother, you should not become father, you should not become teacher, you should not become any authority, not or a demigod. So because that's a responsibility, to make the dependents free from the cycle of birth and death, to teach them the supreme goal of life, and also the process to attain it. Sadhana and sadhya. This is what the guru is teaching. And that is taught to the qualified disciple. The qualified disciple is somebody who is very determined, like Dhruva Maharaj. He came from kingly order, from Kshatriya. There are also many Brahmanas, Brahmana boys, who are taking up the process of devotional service or practice of meditation, meditating about the Supreme Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's the tapasya needed. So therefore women, shudras and vaishyas, they're not trained in such kind of tapasya, with rare exemptions, but mostly not. They're not trained in the previous time in a discipline to go to Gurukula and learn tapasya and learn Vedic scriptures and to chant mantras, regulated, not unregulated. Shudras, vaishyas and women, they're mostly unregulated. Only if they like something, according to their sense gratification, they become determined and steady for it. But they cannot become determined for spiritual activities, with rare exemptions. So anyway, that's not the verse today, the women and shudras and vaishyas. So Krishna, he tells, even women, shudras and vaishyas, although they naturally have not an inclination for spiritual activities, because they are born in such a way to engage in their dharma, stri dharma, shudra dharma, vaishya dharma,
So they have different kinds of occupation, different kinds of duties. That's all described in the Dharma Shastras. Also in Bhagavatam, 7th canto, Narad Muni gives a description, what is Vaishya Dharma, what is Shudra Dharma, what is Stri Dharma. To Yudhisthira Maharaj, he gave him instructions. So there is a certain discipline. But mostly in the Varna and Ashrama, not in spiritual activities directly, in devotional service. Varnashram Dharma is not an anga or a limb of devotional service, or pure devotional service. It can lead to devotional service, but it's not a part of it. So in Krishna here is saying that if a woman, Shudras and Vaishyas, when they take shelter in me or to me, at my lotus feet, on my bosom, taking shelter on my chest or on the sole of my lotus feet, then they will attain perfection, they will attain liberation at the lotus feet of the Lord. So what to speak of others who are more elevated by birth, by guna and karma. Varnashram is made according to guna and karma. So it's not an artificial imagination of something. I'm Shudra, I'm Vaishya, I'm Kshatriya, I'm Brahmana, according to what I would like to be. So it is our nature. It's given by God. God has given us this nature to be acting in a certain way. Animals also act in a certain way. A tiger cannot act like a bird. A dog not like a cat. He has to bark. He cannot make meow. Because that's his nature. He has to bark and quarrel with other dogs and create troubles, you know. So he has certain nature. So according to our guna and karma, quality and activities we're performing, so this is given by the Supreme Lord. That's given by birth. It's called prarabdha karma, the karma from previous life. So according to our previous life, we get a certain body with certain kind of guna and karma, nature. And this is called svabhava. Svabhava, the svabhava cannot be changed. It's our nature in this lifetime. But sanatana dharma is an eternal nature. Svabhava is only nature in this life. But the sanatana dharma is nature all the time. It's our eternal occupation to be a servant of Krishna. Jivera Sarupai Krishnera Nityadas. So the soul is by nature an eternal servant of Krishna. So this nature is not changeable. It is, the tendency is there, but it's now shrinked, it's covered by Maya, by false conception of bodily conception. So we are in the influence of false ego, as Kapila Devi in the 3rd canto. 28th chapter is describing the different ahankaras and the influence of false ego. So the false ego is the false conception of life that I'm the enjoyer and that I'm the doer, or I'm the possessor, I'm the owner of all this. So this is false ego. So this ego cannot be given up. So ego is not bad, we only have to purify it and make it real ego. Sometimes we say, oh, you're an egoist. Actually, everyone is egoist. In the material world, everyone is egoist. Because everyone, as long as we think about ourselves, you know, it's egoist. But the ego is not bad in itself. We only have to, transform it. Purify the ego, this ahankara, and make it real ego. Servant of Krishna. That's the eternal swarup. The eternal nature of the soul is to serve Krishna. That's the eternal nature. It's unchangeable. It stays. Even if you take birth in a lower species of life, in human form of life, or in animal life, in a low class bird, or in a sinful bird, or in an untouchable or very sinful body, untouchable, lecha, yavana, still there's jiva, this living entity who is an eternal servant of Krishna. And the conception that I'm this and I'm that, and I'm the doer, this is our illusion. And that's why we are in this material world. So to come out of that, the Lord gives us process of devotional service. He reveals Bhagavad Gita. He gives us knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And besides that knowledge that Krishna is giving, there's no other knowledge. That's Veda. Veda means knowledge. Everything else is avidya. It's aveda. It's ignorance. So Krishna is giving us a real transcendental knowledge, paravidya, to become elevated. And nobody is deprived. Everyone can take shelter in that process given by Krishna, especially in bhakti yoga. But karma yoga, jnana yoga, and especially for jnana, study Vedanta, and tapasya, like that. That one has to have good education, strong discipline, trained by guru. But Krishna is giving in this age of Kali Yuga a process, by the mercy of Sri Vyasadeva, for everyone, also for the Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam, for everyone, even for the so-called sinful personalities, because in Kali Yuga everyone is sinful. Everyone is like Jagai Madhai. Everyone is fallen. Nobody is can say, I'm Brahmin, I'm Kshatriya, I'm Aryan, and you are not. Because even the Aryan, even the Brahmins, the high class in the Kali Yuga are fallen. They act like Jagai and Madhai. They don't follow the Dharma, what they actually should perform. Pure devotional service, Sanatana Dharma. They reject it. They reject the process and they take shelter in smarter rules, in becoming proud on their own birthright, I'm Brahmin. And although they're not acting in professional way or in a pure way in the profession as a Brahmana, they become proud, I'm Brahmana. Therefore, you have to give me donation, you have to support me. I don't have to pay anything. You have to pay me. You have to give me the donations. Not that I have to pay. Brahmanas always think, I don't have to pay. I can get everything free. But what they're doing for the society, only demanding. So that's in Kali Yuga. So they become very proud, very arrogant, and they make discrimination. Discrimination, you are low class, I'm high class. And I'm capable for yajna and for this performance and devotional service, and you are not. That's why Lord Chaitanya came. That's why Nityananda came. Because they were not looking on this caste system of high class and low class. Like example, Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, to whom he mostly preached? To the most fallen. The most fallen, detected people, fallen brahmanas who became thieves, dacoits in Bengal, very famous. They even came to steal himself from Lord Nityananda himself, his available ornaments. He had ornaments on every hand, and earrings and necklaces and bracelets and ankle bells, because he had very wealthy followers from the Suvarna Vanik caste in Bengal. They were traders, bankers, gold traders. So they were fabulously rich. And the leader, one of the leader of them was Udharanadat. He was he became a follower of Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, Srila Prabhupada comes in the line of Udharanadatta, his family line, bloodline. They come from Udharanadatta.
So, und Narayana Datta, he was one of the Dvadasa Gopals in Krishna Lila, one of the 12 cowherd boys, friends of Krishna Balaram. So they came, Udarana Datta and others, they came as devotees in the appeared in different places in Bengal to assist Lord Chaitanya Nityananda to spread the Sankirtan movement, chant the holy name, and bring everyone the happiness, the happy news of chanting the holy name. So there's no restriction. Everyone can take it. Young and old, foolish, educated, uneducated, outcast or high caste, no problem. The Reva Nityananda with his transcendental, traveling group went, they turned whole villages and regions into devotees. And because Nityananda had his valuable ornaments on his body decorated, so the dacoits wanted to steal from him. But then later on, because they didn't succeed, they surrendered to Nityananda. And Nityananda told them, your dacoits, don't do it anymore, promise me, I will give you this holy name, I forgive you the offense, but I only have one request to you. Please go to all other dacoits in Bengal and teach them the process of surrender to Lord Chaitanya and chant his holy name. Goranga. Goranga name. To chant the Goranga name and to chant Krishna Nam. So these two, Krishna Nam and Goranga Nam, these are the two Maha Mantras. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone can chant. You don't have to be Brahmana, you don't have to be Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the outcast, high class, doesn't matter, young or old. Everyone can take up this holy name. That's the message of Lord Chaitanya. And this everyone can do. So Krishna's time and Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, there was not the Sankirtan mercy. Lord Chaitanya didn't, Krishna didn't, and Radha didn't appear as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So there was still the distinction between high class and the low class. But Krishna, he prophesied, he make a hint that everyone who takes part in my devotional service, even from low class, or what to speak of a high class personality who is educated in the Vedic Gurukula, can make advancement and attain shelter at my lotus feet and come back to me, back home, back to Godhead. That's my promise. That's Krishna's words. He says his material world is temporary. It's miserable. Temporary doesn't mean that it's not truth. It's not asatya. Krishna doesn't use the word asatya. He says anitya. The material universe is anitya, not asatya. But the Mayavadis become very proudly. Their slogan is Brahma Satya Jagat Mritya. They say the Brahman is real and universe is false. But Krishna says, no, it's not false. It's my energy. It's temporary. Temporary in its manifestation of happiness and distress. Previously, in previous verses, Krishna states that in this material world, this is full of miseries, temporary. Full of janma mritu, jara vyadi, dukkha doshana anudashanam. This material world is temporary. And the misery is birth, old age, disease and death. Nobody can deny it. We all have to go through the changes of birth, old age, disease and death. Nobody likes it. Especially the old age and death. It's terrible, people think. Although it's devotees don't have this fear, because the devotees, they understand it's a part of life, it's a school. So even old age and death helps me to surrender to Krishna. The materialist thinks old age and death will destroy all my plans and my propensity for sense gratification. So they like to prolong the life and make all kinds of beauty operations and injections, you know, that they can become very strong like a monkey in the jungle. That they always can stay young and fresh. And then after some time, you know, they look like monkey. They have an appearance like monkey because you inject yourself with monkey hormones, you know. So you look after some time monkey kind, monkey like. So that's the problem. They think I want to become strong. Okay, become strong like a gorilla. Or like the strong monkeys here in Vrindavan who think that I'm the boss here, you know, and chasing everyone around, you know, showing their face. So there's also the nature for that, for next life. Can already start for this life to train for next life. But life is not meant to go back to nature, back to monkey, back to the jungle. As long as go back home, back to Godhead. Come out of this misery of repeated birth and death. And therefore, the devotee is not afraid. For him, death and old age is welcome because it gives him an opportunity to come more near to Krishna, to take shelter of Krishna. Why people want to prolong their life? Because they want to enjoy and want to stay as long as possible in the material world. Of course, the devotee also may like to stay as long as possible because he has mission. He has a purpose in life. As long one has a purpose in life, then there is life. If the purpose of life, and especially if the higher goal is missed, you know, what's the use? Even if you have a prolonged life of a tree, who can live thousands of years maybe. That was Maharaj Parikshit's anxiety. Oh, I only have 7 days. Left. Only 7 days. 7 days I will die, cursed by a Brahmana boy. So what to do? So Shukadev Goswami encouraged him. Guru is always trying to encourage disciple. Don't hang up. 7 days is still long enough. And he gave the example of Katvanga Maharaj. He was a king. He was fighting on the side of the demigods. And then the demigods were happy, and they were happy with King Katvanga Maharaj's seva on the battle, because they became victorious to win or destroy the demons. So they wanted to give him a blessing. No, demigods can give high blessing, Amara, to become inhabitant of Svargaloka. You have a long life. Amara means become an immortal. Take part in some beverage of somaras. Get some nice heavenly girls, society girls, with whom you can enjoy, apsaras. All this facility they can give you. But the king intelligently told, tell me how long remaining time I have on this earth. Then they told, one muhurta, or two muhurtas. Muhurta is 48 minutes. So that means a little more than 1.5 hours. He had time to remain on the earth planet in his karma as King Katvanga. So what Katvanga Maharaj did? He didn't went to the doctor. He didn't went to to make some arrangement how to prolong his life, because he can enjoy longer his kingly life as Katvanga. No, he immediately took up the process of tapasya, renouncing everything, went to the forest, and fixed his mind on Krishna in one moment. In one moment, practically, he attained success. He was determined in this life. So when the time came, you know, to give up his body, no, he was even more determined, or same determined. Like Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev is known as somebody who will take up heavy vrata, brahmacharya. He was a great soldier, great warrior, greatest of all, grandsire of the Kurus. So everyone looked upon him as a great hero. And he fight. Because one time something was not very, went very proper on the war. Krishna took side of Arjuna and the Pandavas, although he promised, "I will not take any side." Bhishma took a vow. Now tomorrow, I will fight so ferociously, I will bring Arjuna in so much in trouble, that Krishna has to come. Only if Krishna comes and protects him, then the life of Arjuna will be saved. Otherwise, no chance. I will kill Arjuna. Let's see how the Lord will protect his devotee. And actually, that is what that picture, what Bhishma Dev wanted to see in the time of his death, before he left the body. He wanted to see that picture of Parthasarathi, how Krishna jumping down from the chariot with the broken wheel in the hand, like a lion. Even blood were flowing up from the head of Krishna. And he lost his upper garment, fell to the ground, and he was running. His hair was flying, So he was so angry. His eyes were red, like the sun in the sunset. And he ran with great fury towards Bhishma Dev, to kill him, That is the picture where Bhishma Dev wanted to see how the Lord breaks his own promise to his devotee. Kaunte apradichani hi name bhakta pranashati, that my devotee will not be vanquished. So that Bhishma wanted to see. Then hände hoch. He surrendered, hands up, and he gave up the fight. So that was a picture what Bhishma Dev wanted to see. And that was what he remembered in the time of death, when he was lying on the bed of arrows. Bhishma Dev, his only desire was to see Krishna. And Krishna came to his side with the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, etc. and sages. And then Bhishma Dev, he got the darshan of Krishna, Arjuna, and he told to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, "Oh, what great anxiety and difficulties, troubles you had to go through, although you are the sons of Dharma, performed all the rituals and the activities purely, did nothing wrong, but so many troubles you had to go through. So this is only possible because of the Lord's arrangement. He is the time, He is Kala. So, and you are favored by Him. And although you are favored by him, you had to go through so many difficulties, but He was always on your side. He took your side. He promised, He saved you. Because you are His devotees, His family members, His friends, everything. So the Lord is very much inclined to the devotee. It's Bhakta Vatsalya. It's most friendly and sympathetic to his devotees. And this Bhishma Dev, he wanted to see, and he admired that, and he was so happy, and then ultimately he absorbed his mind in Krishna. He was a Kshatriya, he was a great hero on the battlefield, but the same hero he was when he died, in meditation and in his absorption, in his determination. He was the same as on the battlefield, but in the mind. The body was not capable anymore. So the last battle is, to think about Krishna, to go, to make this attempt to Krishna, to go, to take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet. That's the last test we all have to go through. And this life is practically only a training for that.
So we should not think, you know, I'll make my life nice, comfortable, and then in the time of death, you know, the mercy and everything will come. Yes, it may come, but we also have to make an endeavor. We have to make an endeavor in this life and before the time comes. And then whatever lack is there in the time, or how we say, maybe not fully conscious and not completely pure, Krishna will do the rest. Like Srila Prabhupada told, 100% we have to become pure, that Krishna will take you. 90% or 80% maybe not good. But then the devotees become very sad, hang down their heads. And then Prabhupada, he saw that and he encouraged them, even with 90% and you also can make it. And then when he went down from the Vyasasan, a chatter dropped down from him, and he picked it up, and then he said, even 80%. So the devotees were cheering. But that's then the minimum. You should not now think, oh, Prabhupada told 80% also is enough, or 70% is enough. Then where is the limit? Then we say, okay, I can also do 50-50. But then 50-50 is 50-50 chance, yes or no. So we should not make gambling. We should not make the risk. We really go 100%, because if we don't go 100%, then it's guaranteed that we go down on 50 or less. And then Maya, if you give Maya a little finger, she takes whole hand. So we should not make this risk. So we should not make in this material world try to be lazy. We have to be very determined, working hard in this direction to serve Krishna. And the best way is in the association of devotees. Alone, single, we have no chance. Like Krishna says, if you are my devotee, not my devotee. He told to Arjuna in Adi Purana, only the devotee of my devotee is my real devotee. So we have to become devotees of the devotees of Krishna. Then we become accepted. Then Krishna will take us. So that's the key to Krishna's lotus feet, by following Anugata, following Krishna's devotees. Be servant of the servant, the dear servants of Krishna. This is called Anugata, follower. We're not enjoyers. We are not God. We are not God. We are Anugata. We are Anu, very, very small. And we are small, very small, insignificant servant of the servant of the servant. And that is how Krishna is recognizing a devotee. And that everyone can take up this process. And because Krishna is not looking on karma, guna and karma. That's external. He sees on bhakti, on our devotion to him. That Krishna sees. Like there's a story Prabhupada many times told about a prostitute and a brahmana. So there was one brahmana. His neighborhood was a prostitute. And the prostitute always had every day different lovers coming to her, and the brahmana was always observing it and started to curse her and speaking very negative all the time about this prostitute. So when the time came, when they were brought before Yamaraj in the time of death, so then Yamaraj told prostitute, she can go to the spiritual world. She will become elevated to a spiritual world. And the brahmana, what he will get, he has to go to hell. So then everyone thought, oh, what is the cause of that? High court judge, Yamaraj, why you decided like that? She is a prostitute and he is a brahmana. Brahmana you send to hell and the prostitute you send to the spiritual world. What's that? What kind of chastity is that? What kind of justice is this? We cannot accept.
So, but then Yamaraj explained, you know, you didn't know about mentality of the prostitute. Prostitute, she always prayed about Krishna, the Lord, you know. Oh, I'm such an, I have such a low profession, because to be a prostitute in the Vedic time was also a profession. There were so many in the royal palaces and in different places that they had these prostitutes. They called them courtesans. They were also in the royal palaces. So they were very feudalistic ladies, very cultured in one sense, you know, but they had this kind of a profession. And they were not like prostitutes today. That's degraded. They were cultivated prostitutes. And then Yamaraj told this prostitute, she was always praying to the Lord, oh, I'm born in such a low profession and body. I have to give pleasure to so many men with my body. Oh, please, Lord, forgive me. Give me opportunity that I will become purified and become your devotee. That was our internal prayer. But it was the prayer of the Brahmana. Oh, this is my neighbor here, this prostitute, she's so nasty, so low class. Just look at her, the nonsense she's doing all the time, you know. And then at the time, you know, his meditation became more and more like a prostitute itself, in a negative way, in a criticizing way. If you glorify somebody positively or criticize somebody negatively, you are accepting that kind of nature. Therefore, we should not glorify and we should not be negative towards anyone, devotee. We should only see the good. Like Krishna only sees the good, he sees not the bad qualities. Even the little good, bhakti, a person has, he makes very great, he magnifies it and makes it very big. And he thinks, oh, just see this devotee, how nice. Radharani comes personally and recommends to Krishna, oh, just see this devotee, so nice. Endeavoring, serving you, please give him your mercy. Give him shelter at your lotus feet on the recommendation of Radharani. So Krishna doesn't see in Radharani and their associates, they don't see the bad. Because in Kali Yuga is an ocean of bad. Kali the ocean Nideyarachan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. Kali Yuga Nideyarachan is Asti Eka Mahangunan. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Paramrajet. But there is one good opportunity in this ocean of misery or of bad. And that's Kirtan. Kirtana Eva Krishnasya. The holy name. Chanting Krishna Nam. Chanting Gauranga Nam. If you chant the name of Krishna and Gauranga, then you can conquer the ocean of birth and death. And the ocean of all this dirt and pollution in the Kali Yuga, Kali Dosha, Nide Rajan, O King, there is so much fault in the Kali Yuga. But there is one good opportunity, Astyeka Mahangunan, one good quality, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangam, Paramrachet. And those who chant the holy name, they become Mukta Sangha. Without going to Tapavan, without going to the Himalayas in a cave to do a lot of tapasya, mauna, you become Mukta Sangha in the association of devotees if you go and chant Krishna Kirtan. Hearing about Krishna, reading Prabhupada books is also Krishna Kirtan. It's written down, typed and Kirtan in book form. So we have to do both kirtan. Kirtan in form of reading and classes, hearing, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Ridyantaksa Bhadrani, Vidunoti Suritsatam. So regularly chanting, hearing about Krishna, and also chant the holy name. Both is recommended, remembering Krishna. So in this way, one become purified. The Lord in the heart will become pleased,
he becomes pacified, and he is giving us intelligence and help, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, how he can come to me. So, and when we come to him, or when Krishna takes a candidate, somebody, he doesn't look on material qualification, only sees on the good spiritual qualities. Not on low and high class. But from the high class, you know, the high class has a better an opportunity, because he has the facility to get a training in Vedic scriptures. But if he is not using this opportunity, then he becomes lower than low class. That's Devahuti's realization in third canto. She says, he who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra or chants Krishna's name or the holy name of the Lord, he becomes better than any Brahmana. A Brahmana cannot purify even himself, what to speak of his family members. So a devotee, even if he comes from a low class family, he becomes better than a Brahmana, because he knows Brahman. He knows what is eternal, he knows Supreme Brahman, he knows Krishna, and he worships him, chanting his holy name. And the Brahmana, although he is Brahmana, but he is not following all the Brahminical principles, but he is not chanting the holy name, he is actually not Brahmana, he is a dog eater. He is a Svabhaka. Yeah. That's Devahuti Bhagavatam statement. A Brahmana who is not chanting holy name is a Svabhaka. Is a dog eater. And the dog eater who chants the holy name, he is a Brahmana, a real Brahmana, somebody who knows Brahman. Okay, stop here. Hare Krishna. Any question, maybe? A comment? Yes?
In Bhagavatam, he said that those who are doing bhajan, he always been taking bath in Ganga and giving kirtan.
No.
On this.
Those who are taking the holy name, one sloka is behind, forget this. Yeah, it's Bhagavatam sloka.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who is chanting the holy name, always taking part in the Ganga. It's even better. It's better than take part in the Ganga, because to take part in the Ganga, you have to do again and again. But chanting Hare Krishna only one time, chanting one Naam without offenses, you know. It's more powerful than even taking bath in Ganga, because taking bath in Ganga you have to take many, many times, that it has a purifying effect. So we should not think, I go to the Triveni, I go to Benares at a certain time, auspicious time, to take bath in the Ganga and in the Yamuna there, where it is two rivers or three rivers. Sarasvati is not manifested now. They come all together there. It's called Triveni. So take bath there at the auspicious time, Sankranti. And then I get a lot of Amrit raining down from the sky, from the heaven, from Svarga. So I get a lot of benefit. But if you chant not the holy name, so you can go many years and to these Sankrantis, and even lifetimes, the maximum what you can attain is Svargaloka. So therefore Prabhupada, when he wanted to go to these Sankranti Melas, Kumbha Melas in Benares, he also went there with his disciples in the early 70s. It was very cold, it's very cold season. January, it's Magh. It's month of Magh, January, it's very, very cold. And take bath in the Yamuna. But Prabhupada, he didn't went there to just take bath in Yamuna or Ganga. He wanted to go to preach and give these most yogis and great sages come there, and all kinds of sadhus from all the 14 worlds that come to take bath there. Very, very special personalities. But they come for just taking bath. But Prabhupada, he went there to chant the holy name and distribute prasadam.
he opened free kitchen there, Mahaprasadam. And the devotees, 24 hours they were engaged in cooking and having sankirtan through the town and in these melas, and it was very much appreciated. The many party, because it's the biggest event, 12 million people and more appear, Kumbh Mela. So every 12 years, Prabhupada went there because it was, 12 million people, we can meet here in one spot. Give them the holy name, give them Krishna Prasadam, give them books. So he wanted to give also the book distribution was taking place. Prasadam and holy name. So that's the sacrifice, and this is the equal opportunity what a pure devotee wants to give, who is empowered by Krishna. He wants to give everyone equally opportunity to hear the holy name, to read something about or hear something about Krishna and get Krishna prasadam, and see the association of devotees. It was very special in that time, in the beginning of 70s, because in India, Indian, they practically rejected Vedic culture. But then the white elephants, the Vaishnavas from America and England, they came to India. And that was a big event. So many people came to these Harinams and were so happy to see Prabhupada's success, how he made so many white people untouchables. White people means Mlecha Yavana. They are not Aryan. They are not followers of Vedic culture. They are un-Aryan. So Prabhupada made them all Aryan. They made them even better than Aryan. He made them Hare Krishnas. Pure devotees, Vaishnavas. When he came with these 30, 40, 50 devotees at that time, only a little amount, but this was already so powerful. People could hardly believe it, that white people dressed like they should dress. Vaishnava dress with tilak, japa mala, kanti mala, tulsi, chanting holy name, kirtan, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they reject. One time somebody asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, why you come to the West? Student. Then Prabhupada told, I came to the West to bring something what you have forgotten, but you come, to beg. Please, American, give me technology. What I come to give. I'm also Indian. You are Indian, but we have two different purposes. You come as a beggar and I come as a giver. So Krishna, Prabhupada didn't come as beggar, he came as giver. Mostly Indians go to the West to get technology, get big amount of money, American passport, like that. American dress, American jeans, like that. But Prabhupada came to give. He didn't change dress. He came as he was. So when he met one man in New York, I think he was in a tram, from conductor. So he asked Prabhupada, what you are doing here? So, I'm coming from India. He asked, from where are you coming from? I'm from India. And I have many centers all over the world, many followers, many books. Although nothing happened in that, it was 1965, late 65 or beginning of 66. No followers, no center. But Prabhupada had already this vision. He had this vision of that he will have thousands of followers and hundreds of temples. It was only at the time we were separating from it. So therefore, to associate with the devotees, to chant the holy name, this is the greatest purification agent. More purifying than even Ganga water. Because by taking the shelter in Ganga water, taking bath, you have to do it again and again. But by chanting, of course we also do it again and again, but it has a constant effect. Because even if you chant one time, and you stop, you may forget, but Krishna don't forget. He will remember. You chanted one time. And especially if you chant in the time of that. Better you chant holy name or hear holy name the time of that than just think the ritual of Ganga water and Tulsi. And you also have to hear the holy name in the same time, if possible. This opportunity should be there. Plus Yamuna water or Ganga and Tulsi. And then this is guaranteed that one will go to spiritual world, to Krishna. Okay. Any other question?
It is also described in this Bhagavad Gita, this Bhagavad Param Dham Pavitram Brahmavan.
Yeah.
It is better to take the chant the holy name of Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
So instead of going to the dance actually, you should chant.
Yes. It's Pavitra, it's most pure.
Bhakta-vatsalya.
Yeah, Bhakta-vatsalya is actually from all qualities of Krishna, Bhakta-vatsalya is considered the greatest quality, because that quality shows his affection, his great love to his devotees, to Bhakta-vatsala. So the Lord is very affectionate. To somebody who becomes his devotee, that devotee becomes even more dear to him than his own life. So he gives special care and attention for such a devotee. And Arjuna was such a devotee. And he was a kshatriya. So he wanted to encourage, you're a kshatriya, what to speak of Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam, you're a kshatriya, you have even better opportunity to take up the process of bhakti and surrender unto me. So from material point of view and from the spiritual point of view, you're my bhakta, besides of that you're a kshatriya, so you have from both sides... It's no problem. You have no obstacle to surrender unto me. No excuse. So just believe in that. We have to believe in the words of Krishna. We have to believe in us, that we have this opportunity, this mercy. We have to believe in that, that the mercy is here, that the Lord loves us more than we love Him. There's no doubt about it. We are only unthankful, ungrateful. Always try to see fault in Him instead to see how merciful He is and that He gives us this opportunity now in this human form of life to take part in devotional service and association of devotees. And then even in Vrindavan, what to speak, to come to Vrindavan, that's very rare. Even demigods cannot come here. Only from above can observe.